This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, light, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, a multitude of insurance needs. And Purdy Insurance handles them all. And make sure they save you money wherever they can. It is all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And Neil Coolong now joins us. Neil, as always, it's Tuesdays, which means it's a great day for me.
You bet. I am at least as excited as you are. It's a phenomenal day. You got to love it in the middle of the season here.
And not only that, but maybe some quarterback news with the Steelers. The door continues to be left open for Russell Wilson. They're 4-2. So why do you think?
Well, I think Mike Tomlin hasn't made a quarterback change pre-week seven in I don't know how long now. So what we really have is Wilson was signed to be the starting quarterback of the team. That's the simple answer. I understand the team is 4-2. I would point out, though, that the three of the four wins have come against teams that have managed to score fewer points than the Steelers have up to this point this season. And it's not as if Justin Fields is putting up, 380 yards and five touchdowns every game. Wilson is going to start a game for the Steelers at some point, at least one game. He was signed to be the starter. That said, I don't think that him taking a few reps with the first team is the world is falling apart around Justin Fields. He's the back quarterback. I think he's done a decent job. I don't think he's been phenomenal. I don't think he's been great. I wouldn't say, this is a Wally Pipps situation. I think Wilson was brought in to do this job. When he's physically ready, he's going to do it. Not only is it not a Wally Pipp situation, it's not a Tommy Maddox and Ben Roethlisberger situation.
Right.
Roethlisberger came in, he played really well. Justin Fields is not playing to that level. He's not undefeated. I don't think that he's a major factor in whatever success that people think that Steelers offense has had to this point. It's really not that crazy of an idea. That said, I don't know if it is the time to do it or not. I mean, it could be. I think that's why they're just very simply saying he's going to practice, he's going to take some reps with the ones this week, and they're going to take a look at it. If Russell Wilson is ready to play, though, he's probably going to be their guy. I could see them maybe giving Fields another shot. I don't know if it's the best idea. I think it's kind of a bullet to the head versus five in the chest type of situation. I think maybe if you're going to bench him, you may as well just bench him and not have him go out and play with Wilson's shadow looming over him like that. That's just me. I can see them going either direction with it. But at the end of the day, Wilson was brought in to be the starting quarterback. It was not a situation of one or the other. It was never an open competition, and they never hid that. So to be honest, it's the idea that Fields, who's not, again, not playing terribly, but he's not outstanding either. The idea that Fields, the backup quarterback, would return to the bench at some point is not as far-fetched as people are making it out to be. Is that going to be this week? I don't know. It could be. It's an interesting game, I think, for both teams now. There's a lot of non-football kind of drama going on within both sides, it might be the time to kind of stay the course, do what you've been doing. But I could see why they'd want to put Wilson out there as well.
All right, so let me talk about Fields for a moment. All right, so we've seen six games of this with him at quarterback. A, what do you like about what he's done? And B, what doesn't he do to advance the team, in your opinion?
I don't think he hits plays consistently enough. I don't think that he... Whether it's, if we were to believe the conspiracy theory that every quarterback that the Steelers bring in who's not named Ben Roethlisberger is being explicitly told to not ever throw the ball down the field under any circumstances, or he's being given options to do that and those routes are not open, they're not being developed. What it comes down to in my mind, we can make thousands of excuses for whatever quarterback we really like. Believe it or not, there are Browns fans that think that the people around Deshaun Watson are the problem right now. There's always excuses being made. The reality of the situation is scheme, your receivers, your running game, your offensive line, all of those things, coaching staff, that will always pale in comparison to your quarterback. Okay, that is both a tangible and a financial reality of the NFL and sports in general. Quarterbacks get paid 20% of a team's salary cap because they are the ones who are tasked with making those around them better. Right. Justin Fields does not make what's all admittedly not a whole lot of talent. Doesn't make it particularly better. There are elements to the offense that Fields can contribute to. Short yardage situations, he's effective. He's a good weapon. I don't think that he is a bad passer, but he will have three or four really poor throws a game. That's a drive. That's one full possession. For a team that's averaging less than 21 points a game, you really shouldn't waste plays. You really should be able to complete most of his passes without much of a problem. That doesn't seem to be the case with him. I just don't think that the presence of good is there enough for him on a play-to-play basis. That said, yes, there's a lot of potential. There are a lot of things that you can like about him. But at the end of the day, he's had over 50 starts in the NFL, and he has not had more than maybe two or three really good passing games. He doesn't show that he can throw the ball with confidence, with accuracy consistently. Because of that, you limit the playbook. You shorten things. You put it this way. There's not a whole lot of quarterback rollouts that get called unless your passer is pretty limited in terms of his vision. They roll Fields out, and that might be when he's at his most effective. At the same time, though, his first instinct is not to look for another receiver. It's to run the ball. So if his primary guy is not there, he stops for a second, and he looks for a running lane. You can't do that. At some point, you have to be able to say, I'm not running until all hell is breaking loose around me. I'm going to deliver the ball to somebody down the field. Does that mean sometimes there are more interceptions? Yes. And then we get into the possibility that they're telling him absolutely under no circumstances, take a risk. Be the CEO quarterback, one of my favorite cliches of all time. Take nothing but gains. Don't take losses. In the Steelers' vernacular, that means incomplete passes are gains as well. I don't know how valuable that is for a team that wants to score points. The Steelers don't mind punting. I understand that philosophy in 1995. That isn't really the way it works nowadays. You can have a long punt on third down. I don't think that's that big of a deal. Even on second down, if you put the ball 50 yards downfield to good playmaking receivers and you get beat by the defense, okay, it's a long punt. I'd be okay with that. At some point, you're going to hit those plays. You're going to get that extra touchdown that you need in a game. You don't have to have the Las Vegas Raiders completely implode in the second half in order for you to score 30 points. Right. You can put it to a team, beat the Colts, which you probably should have anyway. You have a much better position to beat a team like Dallas that did not play particularly well on Sunday night when they played him either. Fields doesn't bring those things to the table, in my opinion. And there are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL that don't. You have to scheme around that, but if you have the option to improve, you should probably explore that as well.
Devontae Adams goes from the Raiders to the Jets. It's not a big surprise they give up a third for him. Aaron Rodgers essentially has, I think, about everything he asked for, don't you think?
Yeah, I would hope so. Let's find out next week, though, what he's going to say they need. I just think it's funny for a team that wanted to create as much distraction and drama as the Jets have over the last three seasons now, for them to break everything down at 2-3, have that not be good enough and lose to a division rival at home in prime time, to fall to 2-4, the conclusion they come to, I'm assuming immediately following the game, was we need to bring in more of Aaron's friends. That's the conclusion that Woody Johnson has drawn on all of this. They've got a real uphill climb. You know, it's a good AFC. They're at 2-4. They've got to get a lot better in a hurry. And here's my thing. I operate under this adage a lot because the topic comes up in the NFL a lot. You don't get better at playing football by not playing football.
Right.
And let's be honest. Watch Devontae Adams. You tell me the last time he played hard every play in a game.
Oh.
I haven't seen it. Honestly, for me, I wouldn't want the guy on my team, let alone I pay him $30 million to come in to resurrect the team with a quarterback who is the only one that can't see that his physical skills have diminished quite a bit from when he was good. They want to talk about getting the band back together. What I really think about it with the Jets right now is that kind of like almost mocking fanfare that Dalvin Cook wanted to throw for himself when he finally signed with the Jets last offseason. And it was pretty clear that Dalvin Cook was all but washed at the point they brought him in. And then you saw him play. It's like, yeah, you made a really big deal out of this player without accepting that he's not a shell of what he used to be. He's not the same guy. I'm not saying that Devontae Adams is quite at that level, but I haven't seen Devontae Adams play well in a while. He's not nearly as good as he thinks he is. Just because he gets back with 2024 Aaron Rodgers does not mean he and Rodgers are back to their 2017 version. That's not going to happen within an offense that's now run by an offensive coordinator that I think the next time he has success in the NFL will be the first time. Todd Downing has not been really anything of a points-generating kind of offensive leader in his time in the league. I thought it was just amazing that he's the guy that they would give this to after Nathaniel Hackett.
Right.
Somebody that hasn't really done a whole lot lately failed with it. I think the problem might be that Aaron Rodgers is just simply not the quarterback that they traded a bit for, paid a lot for, and are now giving in to every demand that he has. And around the time Woody Johnson recognizes that, what he's going to see is that his team has become really a slashed and burned version of an NFL football team. And it's going to take them a while to rebuild out of all this because they're not getting out of this anytime soon.
Well, Aaron Rodgers, and I say this with all due respect, because he's been a dynamic quarterback. He looks like a 40-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles. I think he's doing the best he can with it, but again, those are two big factors to overcome.
Yeah, and that's ultimately. That's kind of what I mean when I say you don't get better at playing football by not playing football.
Right.
Rodgers has not played a whole lot. And then let's put on top of it that he had a pretty significant injury. However it is that he feels modern medicine works and how he healed himself or whatever, biology is undefeated too. You know, you're not able to just get over these things at your age. I know that because I'm icing my calf right now because I was on an elliptical machine this morning. I'm older than Rodgers is, but it's not going to take a whole lot to recognize you don't just return from that. You don't have that rebounding ability anymore. And week to week throughout the season, it's only going to get worse. He hasn't been hit this many times in a long time, and it's not like they provide him great protection. If anything, look at it like this, too. What about your future? What are you telling Garrett Wilson? Wilson, who had to carry the offense, dragging, kicking, screaming forward with whatever Aaron Rodgers could muster on a week-in, week-out basis. They just brought in a guy who gets paid 30 times what he does.
Right.
contract is coming up pretty quick. What message does that send? The whole thing is just bad. And they're trying to trade Mike Williams on top of that. I don't know what they're going to get from Mike Williams. I don't necessarily think that's a bad move, but that's more shakeup in the middle of the season that they're going to have to endure. And they're doing all this with an interim coach, that literally no one would hire as a head coach. So Aaron Rodgers is in charge of your entire franchise at this point. Does any of that seem like a good idea? He's not the league, MVP. He's not the Hall of Fame. Well, he is a Hall of Fame level player because of his track record, which is rivaled by basically nobody, and nobody would ever question that. But in 2024, he is not going to be the kind of player that you can give that much scratch to internally and expect just his ability to carry everybody else along. They saw Zach Wilson performing at a level that really wasn't all that much worse than what they're seeing right now. So it's only going to come a point where it's like, okay, so Rodgers is in charge of everything. I get it, but we're not going to produce and you're not getting me the ball. There's going to be problems. And when it becomes Aaron's team versus the other Jets who signed here, they're not going to come together and they're not going to win a whole lot. Then what happens? You know, who's left? You're not going to get rid of Rodgers, so you're going to have the same thing next year, and there's going to be a while yet until you can start to rebuild. And I don't see how this team is going to win more than eight, maybe nine games a season at best. And they're going to have to get really good in a hurry if they want to get to that mark.
Right. And they have 10 games remaining, so and they would have to win, in my opinion, seven of them to get themselves to a 9-8 mark, which might get them near the playoffs. We'll see. Last night's game also brought with it, and we have talked about this issue before, a slew of penalties. I mean, just a slew of them. There's no question to me, Neil, that there are legitimate penalties. But I also think that I'm concerned the NFL's not using common sense in officiating. Because they're calling it, like, I felt like last night's crew called everything. And replay assist had to step in three times to correct them on it.
Yeah, there were, what, 20 penalties between the two teams last night?
That were accepted. That were accepted.
Yeah, I would say this, and I don't get into a full critique of the officiating all that often. I tend to look at one particular penalty and you know that shouldn't speak for the entire game, but if it's the one everyone's going to be talking about, you should be on the right side of it. This season I feel like I've seen more penalties that fit what I would say is like, why are you calling that? That's not what you call right now. Most people want to lean on, well, it's the definition, you know, that's a hold, isn't it? No, they call holds in certain spots. If you're not around the ball and a guy's holding, they're not going to throw a flag on that because it slows the game down. It's boring. Fans don't want to watch the official. So there is absolutely a level of subjectivity, and that's what you're paying the guys on the field to you know, kind of measure. Sometimes you call the early hold to kind of set the tone. This is the way it's going to be. There's a management that comes into it. And not only does it help regulate the play, it regulates the tempers going between the two teams. I remember, this is a while ago, but 2010, I want to say, Raiders-Steelers game, where for whatever reason, they didn't call anything, but like, I think they called like three penalties in a game that was obviously very chippy. And right. You could see, because of the non-calls and all the stuff was going on, the officials weren't controlling the game, so the players took it upon themselves to do it. And a fight broke out on the field after Richard Seymour decked Ben Roethlisberger after, right, like 5 seconds after he threw a touchdown pass.
Right.
The officials have to step in and measure the game. It's not just simply about, you know, going by the book and calling everything. You've got to follow the spirit of the law as well as the letter of the law. That said, it really seems like the message officials were given in this offseason is they want much tighter enforcement on the letter of the law. And I feel like they're doing a good job of that. It's a lot of these things, it's like, I'm not sure if that should be called. The easy one to point out is the Raiders touchdown that wasn't, the illegal man downfield. Yeah. I don't think they even got the right guy.
And right, they did not.
From what I saw, it was the player was probably at about the 2 yard mark. After the ball was released, the guy next to him kind of moved forward a little bit and then jumped back as if he was, you know, just trying to make sure of what was going on. The ball was already released, and the lineman doesn't always know that. It's a timing play when they run those kinds of things. But letter of the law says 2 yards.
Right.
The law says if he has a foot over the 2 yard mark and he isn't moving, that's not a penalty. You don't call that. It's really designed so you can't have linemen shooting down the field to block at depths of 5 and 6 yards before the ball is released. That creates a problem for the defense. If they go out to roughly the 2 yard mark and they stop, the defense knows what's going on, more or less. It shouldn't really be over 2 yards, and there is a penalty for a reason. But when you're calling things that tightly and you're taking touchdowns off the board for something, there's no way the illegal man downfield had anything to do with a swing pass in the other direction where the running back was wide open. It had nothing to do with that. So in my mind, when you start calling those kinds of things, all you're doing is delaying the game, creating more resentment and animosity. And in the Raiders' case, they got the wrong end of a couple pretty big calls that probably shouldn't have been made. I don't think that roughing the passer on field was legitimate. I think the player did try to hold himself up. Just because the quarterback's back hits the ground does not mean that the player slammed on top of him. He was holding himself up. Justin Fields is a big guy. It's hard to put him down. You have to kind of, you know, give that extra effort. Shouldn't have been a flag, but that was a game-changing play. You know, things like that, the Raiders didn't help themselves, and I'm not saying the officials gave Pittsburgh the game, but it wasn't a very well-officiated game. And to your point, last night, it got boring, to be honest with you. I turned it off pretty quickly. I think they were at flag number 6, and we couldn't have been more than 10 minutes into the game. That's a bit too much for the level of play that I saw. It wasn't that bad. The calls that they made are really, you know, borderline picky tack. I guess you could call a penalty on this, but there comes a point you need to put the flags away and let the guys getting paid big dollars figure out the game. That's what people want to watch.
Always a pleasure, my friend. I feel like we cover a wide, wide range. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.